Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody give Jesus praise here. Come on, give Jesus praise here. We want to sing and glorify God together, one body, one voice. All the Christians in this place that serve Jesus and stupidly give that praise that is worthy. I want you to join and sing with us if you don't be so. I want you to participate in the worship of the
Hey man, God bless you guys. We got a little reverb here, a little furbish going back and forth on the system, but we're going to get ready to get moving forward here in just a moment. We're going to hear what the Word of God has to speak on this Testimony Tuesday. We all get ourselves prepared to go forth. As I said, we got a little interference in the system. I don't quite know where the interference is coming from. It's kind of like it's an airing, kind of like a shh. But we know, declare the Word of God to no weapon form. Nothing can be created or designed against the work we're doing here in the kingdom of God. So we're going to go ahead and march forward and hear what the Word of God is going to be speaking to us on this afternoon. As we get ready for our Tuesday testimony, welcome you once again for being on the show. And just want to get started off with prayer and get moving here. Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. Father God, on this particular morning, Father God, as we get ready, this afternoon, well, you know, I got a lot of shows. This afternoon, Father God, as we go forth. And Father God, we declare and decree right now in the name of Jesus, in the midst of them, no weapon formed, nothing designed or created, against this word that will come forth with prosper. Father God, we thanks for all those who are coming in to the service on this afternoon to receive that what we have of ingraptation of the power of the Spirit, the unity. Even as we move forward, Father God, we hear what you have to say that coming from the kingdom of God. Lord, direct these lips of clay. Father God, declare, let us be a conduit of what you want us to be in this particular time and moment that we're in. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. I want to get you guys and want to kind of push back off the microphone. I want to kind of get some, kind of open it up here a little bit so we guys can still, hope you guys can still kind of hear me here as I get ready. Yeah, as we get ready. We got some. Whatever it is fading in and out, but we're good here at Harvest and Light Church. Want to speak about a few things today before we get started, and just want to let you guys know, you know, whatever position you're in, you know, whatever you're going through in life, whatever rhetoric, whatever you may hear that's floating around, cliches and all these different sayings, look, be confident in who you are, and be confident in the position you're in, and be confident in what you're called to do. Every different person, a part of a team, corporation, CEO, whatever, got to be able to stay in their lane and don't be distracted by what you call the scrap notice in the air. There's a lot of people that got different interpretations about the Word of God and how it goes forth. In terms of what it means to them, you know, that's fine. You know, as long as it don't spoil the foundation. The Word of God declares and decrees according to the book of 1 Corinthians, that third chapter. He said, there's no other foundation that no man can build, that which of Jesus Christ. We talk about the these different things. We're here talking about the Egyptians. We're talking about the Summa. We're talking about the Islams and all this. Well, you know, the blood is still the same. The blood is everywhere. Just don't be easily tormented or distracted about some of the things, even from the historical point of view, and what we got going on. Jesus declared no Jew, no Gentile, no Protestant, no Catholic. There is no division when you understand the kingdom of God. The kingdom is all one and one for all. It's like a three musketeer type thing. We fight all in one direction. It's good to know the historical points, but don't get it twisted. You know, there's no other foundation. Now, men will walk over the top of a lot of things that they hear in terms of going to the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, you got to be focused and you got to be planted in what you're doing and where you're moving in your season. And whatever your season may be, make sure you're in a position where it's a solid foundation. Whatever your walk is, whatever your calling is, whatever your position is, whatever it's God to call you to do. Don't try to compare it to anybody else. Just run your ways. God said he makes room for your gift. He'll draw those to you that need to be drawn to you in such a way that they'll be mesmerized by the gift that you have in your life. Well, I see we got the man of God in the studio, Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan. I want to welcome into the studio on this afternoon. We get prepared to go forth and hear what the Word of God has to say on this Testimony Tuesday. It's truly honored to have him in the studio along with the other callers. You know, we have multiple callers on the line all the time on this Testimony Tuesday. But, you know, there's only so many people I'll call upon because, you know, in this particular walk that we're doing to be a man of God, you don't have time for a lot of, you know, sideways stuff. And sometimes people want to come in and spoil with their own philosophies and what they want. Look, stay in your lane. Be confident. Always be confident in what you are. Know who you are. Know what your self-worth is. Know how much is in you. And when God designed you, he made you. Don't get carried away by the different doctrines and sayings that you see that's going on. God don't want you to be in competition with nobody. Kingdom of God is not a competition. You know, we get a chance to look at the process of what is a testimony? We talk about what is testimony. People say, well, Pastor, you have a testimony today. Well, why do you have that? You know, first we talk about Jesus died, and he was buried and resurrected from our sins. You know, 1 John 15:11 says that this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is found in his Son. So we understand that process, you know. But what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say about testimony? Psalms really brings a really good point about that in terms of we declare the righteousness and our salvation every day. And we understand that through the Word of God. We get up and say, our Father who art in heaven. At least we know how to call out to. You know, I think if you look at the Scriptures and correctly, I think we talk about the book of Daniel. I mean, we talk about he went up to the temple to pray and sat his corn. He said he faced the east every morning to pray. And those soothsayers and those Chaldees, those governors who came against him, plotted to throw him into the lion's den because he prayed to God. And he didn't let them persuade him not one way or the other. He went and did what he's supposed to do. Now, after all that happened with him when he was in the lion's den, he had a testimony about all his presence, how God brought him out of the midst of those jaw-biting and crushing lions. And then his very enemies, they were thrown in there for them to be devoured and chewed on. So God is always giving us a testimony in our life. Even when it seems like things aren't going the way it should go, we look around and we begin to venture off, and we're going to say, Lord, look, help me. You know, help me to get back on course to where I'm supposed to be. You know, you got to be in position to know that when you're coming to a force, you're coming to a fight, you got to know who you are in the midst of the fight. It's so easily, when you're weak and kind of feeble and not saying anything negative about anyone, it's easy to drift off course when you're in the midst of a battle. It really is. You know, as I got the man of God in mind, Elder Kerry Williams, and I talked about some things and testimonies he gave about when he was suffering the different challenges in his physical ailment. But he stayed right there, and he stayed trusting God. He knew it was going to be a fight, but he knew he would prevail in the midst of that fight as long as he stayed on course. Things in my life, even with this ministry, you know, I never really had, and I can thank God and knock on wood, I never really had any serious health conditions, but I saw my mother, who bored me, go through a lot of things in my life before God took her into the kingdom of God. So it was a testimony that even when I saw her pass away, she always said the famous word out of all the scriptures and all the things she knew. She would always say one word, no weapon formed. That's even on her time of laying down. And she'd always say that very word over and over. I said, Mama, how you feeling? She'd say, no weapon formed against me. If she could whisper when she was laying there in the midst of going on to the kingdom of God, I would ask when she was weak and feeble. I would say, Mama, how you doing? I'd grab her hand. I could see her lips mutter, no weapon formed against it. It was an ushering over in the midst of where she was. It was an ushering over into the midst of what God is carrying her, because he made a promise to her that he would never leave or forsake. You know, he would never deny her, even in the midst of her transfer. And so when I hear people going through situations in their life, I always pray, even my wife and my kids, I'm always lifting them up in prayer, because I know the devil, he don't care. He don't care whether you're young or old. He really don't care.
Right.
He'll try to take you any way that he can. But the Bible say resist. That's what I heard the Word of God say, resist the devil. And he said he shall flee. So our testimony service on the night, we're going to open up and just talk about some of the goodness of what God has done in our life. Maybe somebody else will come in online or raise their hand to hear what this man of God is about to say about some testimonies in his life. And we may encourage somebody. That's what Testimony Tuesday is all about encouraging people who are going through circumstances in their life, even in the midst of their struggle. They'll believe and declare that even in the midst of the struggle, how it goes, Elder, no weapon.
No weapon.
He said, no weapon. And you got to understand what a weapon is. We got some weapons, too. But I believe our weapon is better than his weapon. Didn't he say it?
That's
no
right.
weapon. It may form. That's what I like when he said, Elder. He said, it may form, but it won't prosper.
But it won't come
because
to
pass. Because the Bible, that's right. Come on, man of God. Because he said, resist it. He said, resist it, and it shall flee from the midst of us, infirmities, circumstances, situations, problems, proclivities, issues, orange cones, ditches.
Right.
No one understands that we got a power source behind us, and that is the that is the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All the other rhetoric that we hear about all of these things out here about the historical point of view. I heard a man of God speak today, elder, and he was talking about how we are how the Word of God said that Jesus declared over in John 3:16. He said that God so loved the world, but he tried to break it down and tried to get the people to believe that he was only talking to the Israelites. Well, we're the descendants.
Huh.
Of the Egyptians. You know, how can you separate the two? If he was saying that
that's
God
right.
so loved the world, he was talking about everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Talking about
even
everybody.
Though he was Egyptians, Abraham, he evidently didn't understand the Abrahamic covenant. So I had to leave that alone. Because
obviously,
he said, according
right.
to when Abraham came about at 10, he said, your descendants, it'd be like the sands of the sea. He said, there'd be many. Amen. Man of God, he meant that
you
means everybody.
Argue,
yeah, you
right.
enlarge your territory, you know.
That's all inclusive.
That's all inclusive.
If that were the case, he never would have sent anybody to the Gentiles. We would be lost.
Exactly.
We would still be lost.
That's
none
right.
of us were
there
born
was
Hebrew.
No separation.
We would still be lost.
We still would be lost. You know, we can take a lot of things mm-hmm. on that. See, when you take the content of the Word of God, when you talk about testimony, God died for one and one for all, I talk like I say like the Three Musketeers. And that's what he did. When he went to the cross and buried our sins, it was just for the Jews. It was just for
that's
the
right.
Gentiles. You know, it was for everybody, good and bad, that they may have the right that whenever they come up out of their badness or whatever they've been alienated with, they can always cry out, Abba. I think he said he was a propitiation man of God. That's what I thought he said. I believe.
That's right. He said he made a propitiation for ours. Yeah.
What did he say?
That's right.
He said our, right?
Our.
He said our. He didn't say anything individual. Was saying, yeah, all inclusive. You know, there was no separation
fact,
in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, man.
As a matter of fact, Jesus told a woman that he was sent first to the lost sheep of Israel.
That's right.
But then he mm-hmm. said that there were other sheep who were not of that particular fold.
That
them
fold.
Also he
That's
must
right.
bring.
Amen. Those who are scattered in the
you
world.
Know, God even mm-hmm. showed mercy to the Gentile nation.
That's right. That's right, he sure did.
It don't make sense. Anyway.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. Because you can't separate, you know,
spiritually,
creation.
Spiritually, you can't.
No.
Exactly.
Genesis. Yeah, you know, Genesis. I mean, that was where creation started, whether it been with the Jews, whether it been with the Protestants. I mean, matter of fact, Galatians talk about being a Jew, Gentile, Protestant, and Catholic. So
and
we understand the
matter,
Protestant.
For that matter, a lot of people don't do their research and take the time to understand facts. Abraham,
amen.
When Abraham was called, there was no such thing as Jew and Gentile. Abraham,
that's right,
was called from idolatry.
That's right.
Abraham was called and separated from a heathen nation.
That's right.
And from him came to be the Hebrew nation.
That's right.
He was not Hebrew. You know,
out of
descendants. You understand these things. And that was a result of the Abrahamic covenant.
Amen. Encouraging each other, like you said, even encouraging each other. You know, you want to share testimonies. You really do. Thessalonians makes a great argument. You know, it comes up
that's
the top
right.
of my head. He's talking about wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify. I think he said something like that. I mean, y'all read, I think it's around that 1 Thessalonians 5:11. You know, I got to get my word and open up here because I don't like going off the top of my head. You know, because I want to let people know something. Let me get my Bible over here.
We're just saying that Paul tells us we're supposed to build each other up in the most holy faith.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere in that same book.
Mm-hmm. Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Matter of fact, when you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he said, wherefore comfort yourselves together. And this is the word I like, edify.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's like the minus and plus between things. But edify meaning that you should comfort everyone that was born under the sun and created under his name. Yeah, we build them up in the most high faith. He said, edify one another, even as also ye do. You all don't want to do that. I think the 14th verse says, we urge you, brethren. He said, talk about that strong word, admonish. Strong word, admonish. Yeah, admonish those who are what? Idle. Those who are just sitting still, don't know which way to go. And you got to cheer them up. And in your process of speaking the word of God, you persuade them. to come
That's
into
right.
what's great for them. You know, he said, just don't sit idle. You know, cheer up those who are discouraged, you know, and help those who are weak, he says. It's a lot of things that's going on.
Matter
in
of fact.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, a matter of fact, that's one of the things that God gave us a reason when he gave us the gifts of the ministry, when he said,
Amen.
You know, and I shall give you pastors, preachers, teachers,
yeah.
and the others, you know, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the saints,
yeah.
for the edifying
Amen.
Of the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's all about.
Amen. 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 You're a team. You're
exactly.
a team. What was the word that he spoke in Psalms 133? How the hell, he said, how good is it for man? There's power in unity. I think he says in Psalms 133, how good is it for man? He didn't say anything about distinction or race or anything in that man of God. I didn't see it in there. I think he said men. I think
he said
that means
men
and women. Yeah, and I mean that means women too.
Men.
You come out the rib, you know. You women too.
Come on,
you know.
Come on.
You know, all we got to be able to understand that in that even as us as men and women, God, and I say us all, you know, testimonies are given to us, you know, as unbelievers, we will look closely at the life of Christ. I mean, look close at the crucifixion. I think one of our stories when we were on there, looks like I got a few numbers that popped in of one I remember. I don't open up to everybody. I don't know who that, but I see that six. I think that's Evangelist Carter. Are you the Evangelist? Is that Evangelist Carter?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm here.
All right. All right. As he said, we were talking to Evangelist. We got getting started. We was looking at the process of how using your life as a testimony. Unbelievers, and think about it. Unbelievers. I heard the man of God just say, Elder Kerry Webb, we should look closely. I mean, as unbelievers. In other words, we want to look into it. If we unbelieving, and if he said over there what he said, we don't supposed to set idle, as he spoke about in Thessalonians 5:4. We ought to look closely when we indecisive into the Christianity and the life of Christians. I think when we talked about a while back, I think you may have been with us when we talked about the Philippians, but I think it was over in the third verse, but in the first part of the book of Philippians, I think it's that one chapter 1, and I think that 27:30, he said, above all, this is how he said, above all, you must live as citizens. Then he said,
that's right.
Yeah, kingdom heaven. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, when we think about the process and we look at the process of the model prayer, it says, Our Father, who are in heaven.
Right in heaven.
We're ambassadors. We're called from a heavenly realm to be participators and then walk with the like-mindedness of a representation of men of God of the kingdom. We're to show them how we're supposed to walk as men of God. Philippians says, he said, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting. That's kind of what Paul, not Paul, but Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 7. He said, amen. But he said, in this particular area in Philippians, he said, conducting yourself in a manner. Now, he said, worthy. You just can't say you're called. He said, worthy of the good news about Christ. Now, conduct yourselves in a manner of worthiness of the good news of Christ. That means we ought to be mimics of the kingdom.
Come on.
That's what we're supposed to be.
In our last
conversation, Elder and Evangelist, we were with Apostle Oscar Walker, and he said, it's really a shame how we as Christians treat one another, and we're supposed to be heavenly minded. Isn't that something?
Really is.
You know?
Really
go
is.
Ahead, Elder. You got something to say on that. Come on.
Amen. You know, I was thinking about that. The last couple of nights we were on, and we were talking about the love chapter, and I was drawn back to that, particularly in that love chapter, the 13th chapter, First Corinthians. What I like, those first three verses, 1-3, Paul gives us practical examples of why we have to operate in love. Why, you know, like for example, 13:1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And it goes down in that. But verse 4 represents what's called a turning point. You know, when you get to a turning point, then that becomes an area that's not only defined, but it also lays out practically for us to apply. For example, and first verse 4 is actually what was stuck in me tonight. So love suffers long. These are qualities that bear the fruit of that spirit. So love suffers long and is in its kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, and is not puffed up. There are three key words there. First of all, love suffers long. Do me a favor, preacher. I need you to pull up about three scriptures for me. Get a chance.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Pull
up Proverbs. Yeah, let's get in position here. Let me make sure I got. Go ahead.
Okay.
You got
Proverbs. And I apologize. I'm gonna give you these scriptures because I had some eye surgery this morning. They told me not to leave for 24 hours.
Yeah.
But
well,
I got them wrote down.
That's why we here. We're gonna look at the book of. We're gonna look at Proverbs. Let me get my little sketch pad here because we want to move quickly through this. Go ahead. I'm gonna bring them down. Proverbs. Okay. Proverbs.
I got
them
marked.
Yep.
Proverbs 10:12.
Okay. Let me go to that right quick. Go ahead. You while you elaborate and we get to. Let's all get to Proverbs 10:12. Let's move that quickly.
Proverbs 10:12 says hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Right.
Sure. That's right.
Now, Proverbs 17:9, and this is a good one that stuck out to me. Proverbs 17:9.
Let's get there. 17:9. That's another one, right?
Yeah.
You read
it. If you can find it for you can find it, read it for me.
Proverbs
17:9.
17:9. We're gonna move quickly to 17:9. Okay, 17:9 said, "He that covereth, who covereth a transgression, seeketh love, but he that repenteth in a matter separateth very friends."
In other words, these are practical descriptions of the way we're supposed to walk in love, and these are things that's not hard for us to do because he says that the Bible says that none of this is grievous to us exactly. And we're able to apply and practice this. All right. Now, the next word is kind. Love is kind. Ephesians 4:32.
4:32?
What is Ephesians 4:32?
Yeah, let's move. Let's move quickly through the scriptures.
We want to move fast.
Okay. Because you want to stay on that. Let's look at 4:32. Let me get the flip to 4:32. Okay. Let me run on down here real quick. 4:32. Let's look at this real quick, little man. Okay, say 4:32 said, and he be ye kind to one another. Now he said, and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's 4:32.
Again, this is all practical examples of the fruit that should be coming from us as Christians and saints of God. No, it don't matter what somebody else thinks. See, I'm gonna tell you something. At the end of the day. God, the Bible says that God places this word above his name. Okay? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was what? With God. The word was God. Okay? So we have everything that we need right here. Now, we got suffering long and we got kind. Now, the next one, love does not envy.
That's right.
Galatians 5:26.
Galatians 5:26. We're going to be right on it. I'm writing them down because we got to go back to them, So
that's right
in the area of walking in the Spirit, 5:26 is kind of that area. That's it. Here we go right here, 5:26. Let us not be, Darius? I believe vain. Desirous?
That's right.
Yeah, I believe that's desirous.
That's right.
Because I saw the word vain. Does not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envy in one another. Let me read that once again because it sounds really clear because the way the ink on the skin. Let us not desireth of vainglory. That's powerful right there. And he talks about how vain is it. Provoking one another, envying one another. Wow. Yeah. All right. That's it.
Those are direct commandments for us. But see,
yeah.
those commandments are beneficial to us. If we ever want to get this thing right, we have to take all of this serious. You know, preachers, you know, you say you can't, you have to eat the whole roll. You just can't take a bite, leave it alone, walk away, sit it down. But you got your whole roll. And it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning. We have to know who we are and whose we are. Because at the end of the day, divine commandment, divine spirit, divine nature triumphs and covers all. It triumphs over everything else. Man's opinion don't matter. You know, people are going to take things. But this is why Paul said, first of all, he said to follow me as I follow Christ. And then he gave us another example over in the book of Acts when he said that he took a look at, he admired the faith. I believe it was the Bereans. He said because they didn't just take his word for it. He said that they searched the scriptures daily whether these things be so. And then they can see for themselves and connect with God directly themselves. You know, man, be honest, we have no excuse this day and age for not knowing God ourselves. You know, it used to grieve me when people would come at me and they would say, well, you know, you're religious, you're just religious. And I would try to explain to them, no, I'm not religious. Religion is political, it's man-made, it's what you gravitate to. I have a relationship with God. I have a relation and intimacy with my Creator, my Lord and Savior. And there's nothing no man can give me, nor no man can take away.
Amen. Amen.
You know.
Amen.
But we have to put it at the last part of that fourth verse says, love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. And we know that means it's not prideful.
Yeah.
It's not arrogant. And as long as we can walk within those boundaries of that fourth verse right there, we have everything that we need because it produces the fruit that builds our testimony.
Amen.
So I'm gonna tell you something. You can't fake your testimony.
You sure can't.
David said in Psalms, I think it was the 61st division of the Psalms, he said, I have kept thy commandments and thy testimonies. He said it some 61 times. Because to keep your testimony intact, it's just like this. I'll put it in terms like this. You know, Pastor Ellis, myself, Evangelist Carter, we're all men of God. God has blessed and established us in those offices. And a lot of times people make the mistake, they think the man and the oracle are the same thing. But this is why you have to understand, you know, the oracle of God deserves the respect, even if the man doesn't. And when it's done right, you're respecting, you're revering the oracle because it comes directly from God. But it's like this, being the man of God, if I was to leave out of the day and I was to shoot and murder somebody, if I was to get in a fist fight with somebody, anybody who hears my name from that point forward, I don't care what I've done before that fight, They're not going to remember me for everything that I did good. It's just like
the
Christ.
Good deeds, as
they're
they
going,
say, yeah.
They're going there. In their minds, my testimony from that point on is the wrong that I did.
That's right. It's tarnished.
You know, and the Bible tells us not to, the Bible tells us not even to allow good be evil spoken of. Your integrity is everything because
your integrity is
what produces a righteous testimony.
Amen.
And the enemy's going to send barbs, he's going to send attacks, he's going to send people alive. But sometimes, you know, when you've got God leading you and when you're walking in God, the best thing you can always do in that case, when somebody tells a lie on you and the enemy will twist it, he'll mix it with a little bit.
He sure will. He'll talk it up.
But all you have to do is live it now. You walk in your faith and you let your testimony speaks before you because your testimony walks ahead and behind you. And that's what I'm trying to get at. But the only way it can be done is to be allowed to develop in these bonds of love. And I didn't mean to take so much time, but go ahead, Ellis.
No. You know, you're speaking even in the process of, I think, the process of, you talk about the behavior.
I'm talking about conduct.
Conduct, behavior, your character, all that involves in your integrity, your honor. All, and when you look at your fifth verse, like you said, he says, okay, I done told you about what the fourth verse says. He said, now understand this. You know, it does not behave unseemly, because the Spirit of the Lord doesn't carry himself or act in himself in such a way that when we can go back and think about, even when he talks about the process of, I think it was Romans 12 says, I beseech you, brother.
Romans, it's a protocol.
I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God. He said, he talked about a presentation now. When you present yourself and you're carrying a mantle of the kingdom, for you to see, well, we don't take the word serious when we say we're a man of God. We take it literally for gameplay. Now, it's just an accolade word, you know.
We let it play on our ego. And
exactly.
It becomes this whole outward picture that we want to present. We get to the point where we get puffed up and we want to walk in. Mm. We want to look the
prideful.
Part.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go.
But this is practical application. It has
to be
applied.
Yeah. It has to be applied, you know.
And the Bible says those of the household of faith are first partakers of this. So coming from the hierarchy, coming from the man of God, you know, like I said before, the old folks say you can make your mouth say anything.
Yeah.
Paul said that, the calling and the gift of God are without repentance. But truly, what's in your heart?
What's in your heart is what's going to come.
How has your spirit really been transformed and renewed?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where that sounding brass and the clanging cymbal comes in.
Yeah, exactly. He called the whole council out on that thing when David was in the process of going through the process, and his man was tired and has come back from the battle. And you know, as they walked through the course, you all heard the story, when they walked through the grain fields. As they were going through the grain fields, they plucked the heads of the grains, you know, off the tip of the corn, the tips. And one of the Pharisees, they kind of ridiculed him with tradition. They said, why does your man understand
wash
the tradition? That wash their hands because they transgress.
That's what he said, transgress the law. The law.
Yeah.
See, there's a difference between spiritual law and the letter of the law. And the Pharisees, all they had was the written letter of the law of Moses.
That's all.
But Jesus came along and said, I'm giving you spiritual law in your heart.
Yeah, and they twisted that.
I'm giving you a new command. That's right.
That's right. And when he began to speak about the process of what goes in and comes out, he began to talk about the elimination of waste, and he really made it firm. He talked about the heart and what I really want to get at. He really talked about the heart.
He says, now what goes into a man defiles him, but what comes out.
What comes out
comes directly from the heart, from the spirit.
Man, that is so profound.
That's why it's so important that we watch the words that we let come out of our mouth.
That's right.
That's it.
Because what goes in is going to come out, baby. What goes in is going to come out.
It's going to come out. Hey,
you thumb your toe on the side of the bed or something in the middle of the night, and you're going to say the other one, you're going to say, Lord, have me, you know.
Come on.
Yeah. Some of them say the other one, but you didn't have to be deceived or redeemed yet.
Call on them, bro.
Yeah, hey, you know, come on, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus.
What's in the function, bro? Don't come out of it.
That's right.
Yeah. Can I elaborate on something real quick?
Go ahead.
I was listening at Elder when he said that how people don't have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never forget when I first moved down here to Georgia back in 88, and this guy said, I was talking about the Lord. He said, man, what had the Lord done for me? I looked at him. I said, what had the Lord done for
me?
He said, didn't he wake you up this morning? And he looked at me. He said, huh? I said, didn't he wake you up this morning? He said, no, I woke myself up. I said, no, you didn't. I said, let me tell you something right now. I said, we need to talk where we live. I said, now, the thing of it is, you need to stop this. Because, number one, now, you know, you ain't supposed to argue with people 3 days before I would. About politics, religion, and right.
No.
So, I looked at him. And then I sat there and I said, are you serious about what you're saying about the Lord haven't done nothing for you? Well, if God right now, if he stopped breathing in your nostrils right now, what would you be?
Mm-hmm.
What would you know? You see what I'm saying? You would kill over. You see, the thing over there is, and I found out, just like, and I'm gonna share a quick example. I used to be, people used to want to pray. And I used to look around and see who's going to see me praying.
Fair.
And, you know,
yeah.
God said, and God said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is what, in heaven.
In heaven,
well,
that's
I,
right.
I didn't look at the fact of being ashamed. I just looking at the people who people I
yeah.
knew were going to see me praying.
But right.
now, I'm bold with it. I don't care who sees me.
No,
you see what I'm saying? Because I'm
yeah.
doing the will. I'm doing the will and the work
of
the
Lord.
I can care less
mm-hmm.
about what you say, what you think about.
No, hallelujah.
You see what I'm saying? Because number one, you don't have no heaven or no hell to put me in.
Mm-hmm.
And like the body, and I say like this to all: if we don't get it together now, if people don't repent now in hell, they gonna open up their eyes.
Well,
listen,
come on,
that's scripture.
You see,
Amen,
you see, because number one, you're being shameful of God.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because I look at people now, and people, they're lost. And what was what I said last night when I'm praying, God said, well, my people perish for what? The lack of knowledge.
Yeah, Hosea. There
you
go. That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So the thing of it is, if we don't get it together now, when are you going to get it together?
It's kind of hard to get in the game and then practice. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
this is the practice field. And I'm not saying it in a negative way, but we've been given the ingratitation that's been ambassadors on this earth to mimic that what we've been given according to the book of what? Was it Jeremiah 5, 1 and 5?
Yeah, right.
The form and the gift. We've been given our position already in the earth and what we're supposed to do. And the reason he says that what are you going to do with the life I gave you? And what are you going to do with the gift I put in you? Because that's going to be some answering calls when you think about, like the elder just said, that's what he spoke really to the man of God over there, you know, the rich man. He really kind of threw that out at him. But it was too late.
He sure
talked
did.
About the golf. Yeah, it was already too late then because his decision was made. But the rich man made a statement that was so profound. And how you just said, evangelist, about when he said, well, let me sin. He said, could you sin? First, he asked about the water.
Send somebody to my brothers.
Come on, man of God. He said, won't you sin? But then the word came back and said, if they don't get, if they don't hear the prophets that's up there now, they're going to be right here with you.
They've
got an opportunity just like you to hear the word of God and then make their decision on which way they want to go. And that's what God is doing to us right now, just like Evangelist just said. If you don't get
that's
it together
right.
now, by the time you cross to that gulf, it's too late. Ain't no going back. When God gives you everything you need, he said, Ephesians said, put on the whole armor of God.
Then
you
stand
the wiles of the devil. He's told you, man, you're fighting out against flesh. Some people don't know what kind of battle they're in. So when you ignorant of the very devices of the enemy, guess what? He's going to treat you like you're a little puppet anyway. Because you don't understand the kind of armor you got.
Preacher.
Yeah,
hey,
you don't know when you
don't
know your
don't know
gear. Yeah, when you don't know your power, when you don't know what you are, when you on the field of play, whether it be a CEO, whether it be a corporate guy, whatever it be, we can speak it in any level. When you don't know who you are and you're not confident in who you are, you're gonna get lost in the midst of the shuffle. This is why
you
run to these mega ministries, but you don't know you're jumping in the ocean that you don't know how to swim. The word
Come
of God
on,
decrees. Why did you say that, Elder? He said you go in the house of God, you receive the word of God, but then when you go back outside the house of God, the cares of the world. You never
cares
really got
world,
good understanding because you went in there not for learning, you went in there for participation of enthusiasm.
Hey,
and that's what happened in the house of God too much enthusiasm.
And right there, Pastor Ellis, part of the problem is not enough of us understand that God is God of the individual first before he can ever be God of the masses.
Come on now.
We've got to understand that you can't piggyback off of nobody else's salvation, else's faith. God desires you, just like he told you. It's a one-on-one thing when he said that the devil desires to sift you like wheat. God wants you. Because, matter of fact, all of this is a call to unity. Matter of fact, the same, there's a footnote in my Bible that talks about this 13th chapter Them 13 verses said, love, let love come alive. Love has to come alive in you because it's all a call to unity. When God's love comes alive in the individual, it automatically builds and spreads through the masses. And then that's how this thing works. And remember, the Bible tells us what? One can taste 1,000, two can put taste 10. One can taste 1,000, two can put 10,000 in flight. It's all in unity. But it has to start with the individual. I can't save nobody. Just like nobody else can't save me.
Yeah.
Evangelist Scott just said, ain't nobody got no heavenly hell to put me in a hub. I control that destiny myself with the help and the grace of God. And we've got to understand that, you know, just like the old proverb says, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
We can't keep going through church and going through motions and trying to piggyback off of the pastor's faith,
off the first lady's faith, off the Uncle Jimmy's faith, and grandma's faith. No, you got to get in there, and you got to bear yourself before the Lord.
You got to carry that cross.
You got to know that your Redeemer lives.
That's right. The old fool said, you got to try for yourself. I love because Joe said, though he slay me yet. Amen.
Yet will I believe in I know that my Redeemer lives. And you have to know it.
See, that's confidence.
Can't nobody else put that in. Yeah. Exactly. That's knowing who you are and whose you are.
Yeah.
And what you are.
Can I say this?
I'm gonna say this. Yeah. I don't mean to cut off. How many of them willing to say, for God I live and for God I'm willing to die?
Well, that's an easy cliche for someone to say. They can say it, but then I can see you can make your mouth say anything.
Hey, but what do you believe in your heart?
Right. That's it. It's hard.
And that's the thing, because you got people out here, blasphemy. You got people out here doing things that they don't think nobody know about. But see, God exposes you.
He see everything.
That's right. He see the high and look low. But the thing of it is, me and my wife was talking earlier. We was talking about the Lord. I was telling her. I said, the thing of it is, you see, I love doing what I'm doing now. She said, baby, keep doing what you're doing. I said, because I love witnessing to people. I love counseling with them. I love sitting down talking to them. Right. To, you know, get them, you know, see where they mind their heart at. You see what I'm saying? Then I tell them, I said, well, you know what? Do me a favor. I dare you to get on the prayer line. I dare you.
No, that's right.
Come on the Prayer Hands Ministry prayer line, and I guarantee when you come off that prayer line, your life will never be the same again.
So they don't want to hear the talking. Mm-hmm.
But see, and I can walk the walk too. See, when there's a different thing when you can talk the talk and you can't walk the walk, but I can do both.
But they don't want to. See, this is the thing. This is the thing, Evangelist. And he put it right on the nose. And I was talking to him about how, you know, me and him just having a discussion earlier today on the phone. We were just talking about how that when the Word of God, you never seen, and this is just really just you speaking in general, the prophets never came back and they never was redundant on what the Word of God said.
Right.
Did that make sense to anybody? When the prophet spoke, he didn't repeat himself.
Uh-uh. No.
It was up to you to be obedient, or thus say the Lord, or face the consequences of what's going
to
happen.
Come on now. Come on
when
now.
The Word of God gives you, you get a Word of God. When you get somebody a Word of God, the Word of God speaks it very clearly, and he makes it very strong in the book of Isaiah 55:11. He said his words is a 40 word. Whether you take it and look at how he says, I don't bring a word into the language, Amos 3:7, I don't bring a word in the land that's revealed through the prophet. God used a man to bring a word to the land, even as we look at what happened in Samaria. The man who talked about the prophet could have received, but because of the hardness of his heart.
That's
and
right.
The uncontent of his understanding.
And the man
and the Word
spoke
of God comes
to him
about
what was
going to
happen.
He didn't push it on him. He didn't push it on him. He said,
that's
man, you better hear. You better
hear.
And the point I'm making, me and Evangelist Connor was talking about this today, and I was speaking to him about it. I said, man, look, don't waste your time on people who don't want to hear. The Word of God speaks like this. Now, I ain't throwing nobody under the bus. The Bible said, he who has an ear, let him hear
what the Spirit is saying.
Didn't he say it?
Because
the Spirit really speaks to not the flesh, but to the soul. It speaks to your spirit, man. It controls the flesh. Galatians makes it very plain. If you read the book of Galatians, he said, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the rebellion. Really, you think about the rebellion of the flesh. He said the desires, I call it rebellion. He said desires of the flesh. Now, he tells
you
contrary what it does. He said it's a division. It's like oil and water. He said they contrary against one another, so you won't do. So when you don't understand when the Word of God declares that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not feel the lust and desires of the flesh because the flesh lusts against the Spirit. He's basically telling you, when you're talking to people that don't want to listen, you can't continue to keep on hammering the Word away at them in such a way that you'll call yourself to be pulled out of what God gave you to give them, because if you got to keep repeating God, what God said, you must don't believe me what I told you.
There you go.
You're right.
You must not believe what I told you.
Moses,
it's okay if we keep telling people to come to church.
Moses was a perfect example of that at the rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Moses was God's greatest at that time. Moses was God's greatest prophet. And God told him out of his own mouth to his face. He said, all you got to do is obey me.
That's
and
all
I will make
do.
You as a God before the people.
That's all he said. He did.
And God gave Moses specific
instructions.
He told him, that's right. When God told Moses to speak to the rock, so they would give people water. Moses was so anointed, but he was a very passionate man.
Yeah.
And he had a very angry spirit. And Moses had enough of the stiffnecks and the disbelief
hard-neck.
Of those saints. He called them a stiff-necked people, and he got mad at them.
He sure did.
And it caused him to disobey the direct command of God. God told him to speak. And Moses got so mad, he struck the rock. Now, God provided the water, like he said, but it caused Moses everything. It cost him his own ticket into the promised land, and it cost him his life. Now, you remember, the Bible says Moses was about 140 years old, and said that Moses was in perfect health. Said his eye was not dim, and he had the strength and the vigor of any young man the day that he died. But because he disobeyed God that one time, it cost him his entrance into the promised land. And we've got to look, man, ain't no middle ground here. Either you obey God or you don't. People say
ain't no black
time,
and white in this
thing. You know, common sense tells me that, you know, I believe the Word says this, but I ain't got to take it literally. I ain't got to do it. No, it don't work like
right.
that. A command is not a command of God.
Mm-hmm.
And either you obey Jesus, I mean, you know, the Bible said it like this, you know, first of all, he said, the carnal mind is enmity with God. That means you're enemy of God.
Enmity.
You love the world. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. It's that simple. It's that simple. And we get so many people that want to rationalize
and
excuse away their behavior. You can't come to me any kind of way.
No.
You know, it's like this. You know, we preachers, we men of God, we can sit around and hang out and fellowship. But there's certain things. Preachers love to try and test other preachers. You can get with a group of preachers, sit around, and somebody in for too long, somebody in the group going to do this. They're going to come at you and test you. They're going to want to see if you're faithful to your wife, if you got a lustful eye, if you a lying preacher, or if you a cussing preacher.
It's a lot of.
And when you get around them cats, you know, you don't argue with them. Don't stand up. You ease on. You know, you leave them alone. Walk away and go on about your business. We've got to understand that the enemy don't discriminate in when, who, how, or why he uses folk.
But he participates.
But he's always going to come against us. That's right. That's why your integrity is everything. And I heard it put like this one time. It says, "Watch your words." Because your
words
become your thoughts. Watch your thoughts because your thoughts become your actions. Watch your actions because your actions become your legacy. Your legacy is everything that people know and remember about you. And you got to understand if you're trying to witness faithfulness to God, then your legacy has to match up with that.
Amen.
But it has to come. It has to come out of integrity. And that's why all of this that we teach is so important. It's not just something to waste time or to take up your time with. It's not for us to do for you. It's not for anybody to do for yourself but you. Jesus said, yeah. Those that hear me, that love me, know my voice.
Yes, right.
And they hear my voice.
Yeah.
And you know, today
you hear my voice,
so
hard, not your heart.
Yeah. Exactly. There's so many cliches, man, and popular things. It's popular to call yourself a Christian these days, you know. Mm. I tell people all the time, you can ask most people around you, know, if they believe in God. Most people are going to jump up and automatically going to say, yeah, I believe in God. But ask them, do you believe God? There's a difference between believing in God and believing God.
Mm.
You know, and people get caught up, man, listen to me, people get caught up these days. They think that they're serving God by working in the church. There's a huge, tremendous difference between doing church work and working in the church.
And
until we understand, exactly, until we understand the difference, you know, you're not here to provide pleasure for men. You're here to provide guidance and leadership. You're here to provide an example. You're here to provide a pathway to righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
teach you where they can reach it.
But
teach you where they can
there
reach
you go.
It. Mm-hmm.
You know, God will meet you as your greatest area of need. He will meet you where you at. But when he gets there, you got to be willing to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that means you got to come up out of your comfort zone. You got to come up with everything you know.
Come on now.
And what was
comfort
for you? You got to come up out of
that. A lot of times you
got to
get out your comfort zone. Matter of fact, in the kingdom,
oh, basically all
comfort
the time.
Zone, other
you
got to
come
by
up
kingdom.
Out of that.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm following you, and step out in some deep water, bro.
You got to understand how your nest. You know, God gonna stir the nest, and
exactly.
if you ain't used to being stirred. And you find yourself comfortable, that's when you're going to lose out. It's like going into a big, exciting event. And I remember when I first had my first stage appearance before a group of people. And I'm named, tell you, but I probably could have wet my pants. Because I came up before the bishop and I went before his crowd. And I'm talking about it's like 27,000, 37,000 people in this place. I had never stepped before a crowd that large, coming out from like 80 to 90 people, not stepping before all the folk. And it wasn't so much that I had to look at the people. It was what I had to be confident with what was in me. You know, it wasn't them. It's when I become a mouthpiece to speak to them. And when you become a bullhorn, bullhorns reach beyond what you see in terms of what's seated and what's physical. It's an echoing call that comes from the kingdom of God. That's why he wants you to be a conduit. Whatever he puts into you, you puts out. Paul was never afraid to speak in the presence of anybody because Paul was confident in who he was. That's why he speaks in Philippians, that he'd have begun a great work in me. He's got the power to perform it complete. I fear no man in what I have to do in the walk that I'm in Christ Jesus. Because I walk with the same power that he's given me that he gave Apostle Paul and some of the other guys. People say, well, you can't have the same power as Paul. Paul said he couldn't have the same as Jesus. They said you couldn't have the same as Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, Paul said by the grace of God, I'll do all of them to do this work.
Yeah.
I'm a believer that you know he showed you that I can come close. It can be done. And you got to believe what you're doing, and you can do it. Don't feel weird about it. I feel nothing. Me, myself, I thank God for that lifestyle I had, even though my sports season, college, through my trials.
Come on.
I just never had no fear. I didn't fear
that's what
I still don't
that's
fear.
That's what I love.
But it's not a negative
that's
type
what I love
of fear. You know what I mean? You can't fear.
Paul said, perfect love casts out all fear. And when Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul understood one thing. When he said that the love of Christ constrains us and compels us, Paul knew that there was no place in his life for fear. There was no such thing as fear anymore because he said the love of God, the love of Christ constrains us.
Yeah.
And that's why he explained. That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
That's your ammo right there.
Because if love truly is working as your basis, even when you love what you do for the Lord, there's no such thing as fear.
Come on,
Evangelist,
say it again.
Evangelist said it the other day when we were talking about this. The greatest gift of all, you look at the fivefold. See, you can't walk in any gift. Unless you understand charity and love.
Come on,
exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
If you ain't got charity love, you can't walk as apostle. You can't walk as a prophet. You certainly can't walk as an evangelist. You can't be a pastor teacher. Because if you ain't got those first two things right there, charity and love, you can't go anywhere. Why? Because now you become, as he said in the fifth verse, you become unseemly. He said, you know, he said, when he looked at the fifth verse, he said, do not behave unseemly. The man of God said, charity suffers long. And it's kindness. Charity envies not. Charity vanity. Now, the King James say it vanity. You know, it don't puff itself up, like you said. It's not
exactly.
It does not behave unseemly. Well, what is unseemly?
Say it.
Christ-like. I mean, you want to mimic Christ, then you got to understand what Apostle Paul was doing during his missionary journey.
Unseemly
he took
is
a total
that.
Turn. Yeah.
That's
he moved totally different in the kingdom. He said, man, look here. I count everything. Didn't he say it?
Real love is selfless. It's not selfish. And too many people operate on a selfish basis with love. There's a footnote in my Bible says that this passage, talking about that old 13th chapter again, this passage will come alive if you read it in three ways. Now check this out. Number one, you can read it as Paul wrote it. Number two, you can read and put the word Christ in place of the word love, because that's exactly what it is.
Christ is love.
And read it again, or three, you can read it also as a prayer for your own life that the virtues or the character of love will be manifest in you. Because the miracle of Christ's indwelling power is that the love of God, the love that he revealed, is exactly the love he will communicate to others through you and I.
Every word
the quality
you say,
of love is the basis of a relationship or any relationship, then it says that check this out, the miracle of unity is possible. See, love doesn't separate. Love doesn't divide. That's why I said it isn't puffed up. It's kind, it's long-suffering, because love covers a multitude of sin, and love unites. Love brings together. And that's what it's all about, Paul, at the end of the day.
In that whole chapter.
God is God an individual first, but collectively, that whole chapter, man.
In that whole chapter, I put my name in that verse. Every part of that verse is my name, Charles Ellis.
I
put your name in there.
I do that with this one. I do that also with
personal.
The prayers of Paul in Ephesians
Psalm 51
Ephesians
is another one.
In Galatians 3,
Psalm 51 is another
Psalm 51
great one when you struggle against
great.
Things. Okay, Lord, look, create in me. Look, that new kind of heart. You know, wash me. You know,
wash me.
Yeah,
in the blood,
and I
wash
shall
me
be
in
clean.
Blood.
I like when you say, "Create in me a new heart." You know,
Lord.
When they do the Habers, that's the same. People look at the Habers. They say that's the same thing. If it serves me right, and I do the same to my history, that's what Joshua marked the doors with. Before the death angel came in, you know, they were blessing with that lid, dipping in that blood. They were that hapus. They know what if you ever seen what it is, and you look it up, you see what you say. What is hapus? And you look at it. You know, just take this computer, look up the word hapus. What is in hapus?
Yeah.
It tells you what hapus is. You know, because some people say, what is that? You know, movies can be deceiving to you. Like they took the brush and the lambs. You know, they had like the lamb cloth wrapped around. He marked the door with that. But that ain't what he marked the door when you understand the history. He really marked the doors. We don't look at those things. We just see what we see, like the Ten Commandments. Great movie.
It's right there in Exodus.
Yeah. He tells you everything. Yeah. Just study the history of the things. See, it's good to know your history also, as well as knowing the word. Because when you get stuff like that, you know, let me look into this. And I don't really, you know what, I learned, you know, I processed even seminary and doing. I don't like, and I ain't going to, Lord, let me not say that. I don't look at WikiLinks. They lie too much about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they get a lot of stuff errors.
Oh, man. They get a lot of stuff crossed out here, man. That's why in college, even in theology, they tell you don't use WikiLinks. Don't use WikiLinks. Don't use, they say, don't quote nothing from them. And I noticed during the debate, they was quoting a lot of stuff on WikiLinks.
I use Google certain things, and I use authorized online King James Version of the Bible.
Because it's got all the truth you need. Yeah, it's a lot of good study information out there, as well as your books. I mean, to me, a lot of my studies, all the different, you know, I love the King James Version when I'm just outright teaching, but I just I cater to the amplifier.
I like it for personal study, for teaching. I like to use amplifier. Actually, and matter of fact, I got to get me another amplifier. But I also like New Spirit Filled Life. You know, New King James Version.
Oh yeah.
You know, apply Spirit Life. Any of those, because they have practical applications. You can go through any of the chapters.
That's right.
Any Bible tool in reference will not only define everything it's teaching, verse by verse, line by line, jot by jot, but it'll also give you all of its resources and sources and any more that you can go look up. Because they all have to line up and match up, and they all have to line up with this Word of God. Like
precept,
this section
precept,
of any Bible
right.
that has sections of Strong's concordance in it, that has all of the original Greek definitions and translations in it. Even the pronunciation
it's a lot,
of the word.
It's a lot
There's
of
a lot of information out
it's
there,
lot,
but you got
man,
to start
man.
To search.
Yeah. You got
to
start
and you got
to
know where to look.
That's right.
And you got to
That's
find
right.
you got to
That's
find
right.
what's reputable, what's accurate.
That's right.
You know.
Right. What accurate.
Don't take nothing
from face
value. Don't take nothing from face value off the internet and even a lot of these old TV channels, man. I hate when they get on the History Channel and they go to
these History Channel. They mess a lot of stuff up.
And they love to try and explain stuff away practically. And supernatural event and current has no place for, quote, the practical or the intelligent mind, you know.
Go ahead. I was going to say, all I got a saying, if it's not in the word, then kick it to the curb. You can't add, now you can't subtract. So, you know, that's why I was saying, you know, if it ain't in the word, kick it to the curb.
Yeah, man.
One
it's a lot
said
of
like this: when you come and you hear the word, bring your pitchfork with you. If you know what's happening, you can use it. Rig it in. But if it ain't, take your pitchfork and shelf it out.
It's a lot of man. My library is full of so much: Pigs, Henry, Common, Burdas, Gooden. I mean, it's just box. It's just so much how you need to go. Now, I could be in the library, too. I was in the library looking up some stuff, man. I was studying some stories about the scripture way back in the days, man. It's words don't even, they're using letters and alphabets. They don't even start with the kind of alphabets we have now. I said, there's ways. I'm like, way back stuff. Like, 1920 and 1930. It was like, they don't use the same alphabet. I said, what kind of word is this? It was scripture stuff.
You
but
know,
you
what killed
stuff,
me is, Most of the modern Bible that you know and you read these days actually translated from the Greek. But Jesus spoke Aramaic.
But I look at my mother's Bible.
The text of the
man.
Bible was wrote in Greek.
Man,
and
I look at my mother's
was,
Bible. It's a change.
Yeah, a lot
the
of
Bible
that was
a change.
So, Hebrew Greek Bible, Hebrew Greek lexicon is always good tools to have.
Oh, man.
When you understand, especially the source of the word. Most people don't realize that the source of the English language. Most of that comes directly from the Bible. You know, and we've got to understand the source of things, man, and what God, the meaning that God puts behind it. Because it ain't always as clear-cut as you think. And people explain something, and that's why it's so easy for people to take, you know, perception is everything, first of all. That's why it's so easy for people to take things out of context.
Man,
when you allow somebody to put anything into you, you know, You necessarily can't feed.
You just
got to
watch yourself, man. You got to take things. You got to calculate it.
You
got
to
really look at it.
You have to take
what
you hear, and you have to research it.
Yeah,
you have to break it down and research it. That's why Paul told Timmy, you know that you got to the word to show yourself approved. He added the reason why the process rightly dividing the word of truth.
Now, since the last time you saw a Bible like this, man, I was looking out, I pulled one of the Bibles off my shelf, and in the back of the Bible my mother had, guess what it got in there? You don't even see it in the Bible. It got the Ten Commandments.
What's that?
And then on the other side of the Ten Commandments, one of the old, and then on the other side of the Bible, it's got over there in Matthew 5, it's got the Beatitudes.
that's one of the old family Bibles, man. That's one of grandma's Bibles. My grandmother, great grandmother, man, one like them.
Yeah, man.
You got
we
a couple of them
like
still in
no
the family like that, man.
Yeah,
no, you don't find them like that no more.
Well, man,
you
God,
find too many modern translations and stuff.
We're going to close this thing. It's ticking. We're getting to close this thing up. Evangelist Carter, close it out in prayer, man. Close it out in prayer.
Amen.
Man.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word that went forth. Lord Jesus, let it be edified to the hearts and to the soul, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You said we're two and three are gathered together in your name. You are there in the midst also. But, Lord, I thank you for the word that went forward. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for the teaching. Lord Jesus, I thank you that teach you where you can reach it, Lord Jesus. Father God, Lord Jesus, you say we have not because we ask not. Well, Lord Jesus, if people missed it on tonight, that's because they didn't want to receive it. Mm-hmm. But, Lord Jesus, I thank you for blessing me to receive it. And, Lord Jesus, enjoyed it. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Amen.
God bless you guys. Amen. We really appreciate y'all being a part of the show. And, man, it's just a blessing to be with you guys on the line tonight. For all those who are with us tonight on the Tuesday Testimony, we thank you for being with us also. We hope it was something that you enjoyed and heard from these discussions and conversations tonight. We hope you join us on next Tuesday at this same time and same place and same number. Until then, God bless you and God keep you.
God keep you. May God
love y'all, brother.
I love y'all. Be blessed.
Oh, yes.